From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. Bob Garfield is away this week. I'm Brooke Gladstone. It's not every week that a protest creates an international incident, but here we are.
The Pentagon is now preparing options after President Trump signed a proclamation directing the National Guard to be deployed to the U.S.-Mexican border.
The move to mobilize came after several days of tweets in which the president focused his rage on a group of Central American migrants who have gathered to travel through Mexico. Many are seeking asylum there. Some are planning to seek asylum in the United States, and a few are planning to cross the border illegally.
Now, the caravan, which is over 1,000 people coming in from Honduras, thought they were going to just walk right through Mexico and right through the border.
On Thursday, after 5 days of tweeting about it, Trump said the caravan was largely broken up.
No, it's not.
Carrie Kahn is NPR's correspondent for Mexico, Central America, and the Caribbean.
I spent all day Wednesday with them, and there are hundreds of men, women, and a lot of children, many sick now, if I can add that, in this park. It's a recreational field with soccer fields and a couple, you know, swing sets and stuff, in this small town in southern Oaxaca State. And they're still there, and they're united front, and they're going to continue traveling north. Just how far north together this group will travel is very much unclear and in flux.
So the group's still together. Earlier this week, the president said that Mexico was not doing enough. On Thursday, he declared that Mexico's government was in control. Its strong immigration laws, better than ours, he said, had stalled the caravan.
No, the strong Mexican migration laws did not break it up either. Mexico does not have strong migration laws. It has porous borders, underfunded resources, and they're unable to deal with this group of migrants, too, because every year, tens of thousands of Central Americans trek through Mexico on their way to the U.S. border.
This week, Trump also returned to a theme of his campaign, that immigrants from the South prominently featured rapists.
And remember my opening remarks at Trump Tower when I opened. Everybody said, oh, he was so tough. And I used the word rape. And yesterday it came out where this journey coming up, women are raped at levels that nobody's ever seen before.
Migrant on migrant crime? No. And this group is incredibly united to stay together as a group and to provide safety for a lot of the women and the children that are traveling alone.
Trump also was demonstrably wrong in depicting the so-called caravan as somehow unusual, a threat to national security.
Well, first of all, the word caravan is sort of a misnomer. And I think that the word that they used to describe this is I've had a hard time to translate it and find a proper translation. It's called Via Crucis.
Atentamente, Caravana 2018, Via Crucis, Migrantes en la Lucha, Pueblos y Fronteras.
And it's sort of a religious pilgrimage, hinted sort of way. And I think in the translation, it sounds like everybody's in these cars when you think of caravan. No, it's not. It's just a group of people that have come together. Mexico has a long tradition of pilgrimages and long marches.
This particular caravan started in Tapachula, Mexico, just across the river from Guatemala, where many migrants from Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador wait in shelters to make the journey north.
It wasn't that they all came en masse from Central America. I think that's very important to point out. And they're traveling on their own. They get to Tapachula, Mexico. The caravan organizers say, hey, come with us. Let's all travel in a big group. And people want to do that. I heard from people, especially the women traveling on their own with children, that they feel safer.
There are many so-called caravans in Mexico, some lasting only a few hours. Their purpose is twofold. First, there's safety in numbers, safety from gang violence and robbery, and safety from immigration officers and corrupt government officials. But it's also a form of activism, making those who are invisible visible. One of the best-known caravans is an annual 4,000-kilometer trip by a group of mothers whose migrant sons and daughters have disappeared. Alberto Xicotencatl is the director of Migrant House, a shelter in Saltillo in northern Mexico.
Ellas muestran fotografías de sus hijos desaparecidos.
They show photos of their disappeared children. They meet with officials and they demand a search for the disappeared and protections for migrants, because if there were protections, their children wouldn't have disappeared. They wouldn't have had to move around in the shadows hiding.
Chico Tenkatl says that Migrant House doesn't organize these group journeys because they can't guarantee the traveler's safety. But Pueblos Sin Fronteras, People Without Borders, who organized this week's trek, has done several. Alex Mensing is a project coordinator.
Last year, Pueblos Sin Fronteras helped coordinate two caravans in which asylum seekers traveled all the way from the southern Mexico border to the northern Mexico border, where they presented themselves at an official port of entry, turned themselves into U.S. immigration authorities, and requested asylum.
So how did this particular caravan come to the attention of Trump? The path is as well-worn as the Stations of the Cross. First, BuzzFeed ran a story with the unfortunate headline, "A huge caravan of Central Americans is headed for the U.S. and no one in Mexico dares to stop them." Breitbart and then other right-wing sites soon picked it up. Then, as usual, it got to Fox and Friends. Mensing says it was probably the BuzzFeed headline that hooked them.
Yeah, I do think that the way the headline of the BuzzFeed article, the first one that came out, was written galvanized the right more than it galvanized the left.
We talked about this this group of migrants, 1,200, marching to America, and the BuzzFeed reporter that's going along with them reporting on it. And they're marching to the U.S. border because they want in and they want to make a statement with a reporter touting what they're doing.
And less than an hour later...
Well, President Trump on an anti-immigrant rant on Easter Sunday, much of it on Twitter. Here are the tweets. Border Patrol agents are not allowed to properly do their job at the border. Getting more dangerous. Caravans coming. Republicans must go to nuclear option to pass tough laws now. No more DACA deal.
Tucker Carlson, meanwhile, took the opportunity to express disapproval at an activist who blamed U.S. policy for the event.
U.S. should be more welcoming.
So our sins,
much
our
more
sins are the reason
the
this is. So you hate America,
very, very
is what you're saying.
Of, very big
I don't know why. Actually, it's interesting.
Sins.
You're blaming America for illegal immigration into America.
The coverage and rhetoric has gotten so intense that even Brandon Darby, who covers immigration for Breitbart, tweeted, quote, "I'm seeing a lot of right-wing media cover this as people coming illegally or as illegal aliens. That is incorrect. They are coming to a port of entry and requesting refugee status. That is legal." And he elaborated on Breitbart News Tonight with a pointed, if peculiar, simile.
The organizers of this group are actually pulling something similar to what Dr. Kevorkian did. This is something that happens all the time, just like assisted suicide, you know, when it comes to overdosing people on giving them too much morphine and they slowly pass away. This happened all the time, but then came Dr. Kevorkian and put it in everyone's face, and then all of a sudden there's legislation and people looking at the issue. And so this group, People Without Borders, is actually doing a favor to the right. They're shooting themselves in the foot because it's something that happens all the time. And by highlighting it as they're doing it, it's only going to highlight the need for congressional action on this issue.
This caravan was much larger than the organizers were expecting, and they can't continue on the route as planned. But if the goal was to shine a light on what migrants are experiencing and the conditions in Honduras forcing them to flee, then Mensing considers the news coverage a win. NPR's Carrie Kahn says that if that was the goal, the media in large part haven't done their part.
The vast number of those people in that group are suffering from incredible levels of violence and incredible levels of just difficult situation in their countries that we have not really talked about much in the press.
She said she stopped to talk to a woman sitting by a stream.
She was actually putting on makeup, trying to make the best of a terrible situation. She was with her two daughters, one's 15 and one's 11. They live in Honduras. And her daughter, 15-year-old, was kidnapped by gang members for 2 days and gang raped. This happened 4 months ago, and her daughter is just traumatized. And then when she tried to do something about it, she was confronted by the gang and threatened with her life, and she didn't know what to do.
She says she'll probably try and seek asylum in Mexico. Meanwhile, Mensing and other organizers have gotten death threats. He thinks it's because of the hysterical coverage generated north of the border. Now they're rethinking future projects.
It's definitely a factor in deciding to not try to do a large public event at the border, even if that large public event, as there were last year, is designed to highlight a completely legal access to asylum.
And Alberto Xicotencatl of Shelter House in Saltillo says that the caravan story has already sparked more violence against migrants in the north.
Hemos recibido desde ayer y hoy hombres y mujeres golpeados.
Between yesterday and today, we have received men and women who have been beaten by immigration officials who were trying to detain them. They have bloody head wounds. This had not happened like this until the international incident of the President of the United States making claims that in Mexico there was no detention.
As for the migrants in the caravan further south, the Mexican government has given many of them 20 and 30-day permits to travel around the country without deportation. Against the backdrop of Mexico's presidential campaign, this has been a tense episode for officials. NPR's Carrie Kahn.
I do think that the spotlight that President Trump put on this group provoked the Mexican government to work as fast as they did, because to get these visas or these travel permits, 20 to 30-day permits, is very difficult. But they came to this big group of people and issued them within a day or two, which is amazing. I had met some people that had been in Tapachula, Chiapas, there at the border waiting for these permits for months, even years. We'll have to see how many of those people actually try to ask for asylum, whether those pictures and images of hundreds and hundreds of people walking has swayed a public opinion in the United States or lawmakers' opinions. We'll have to see on the negative side of that.
This is a story spawned by an unfortunate headline and thoroughly misreported by Fox News, which famously has the president's ear. It's a textbook example of a case where facts were obscured by fantasy, where the usual is exaggerated beyond reckoning, putting the lives of people who are already terribly vulnerable at risk. It's the kind of thing we've become accustomed to. And that may be the scariest thing about it. Coming up, sex trafficking on the internet is a tragically difficult problem. But then again, so are the seemingly simple solutions.
I think that what's happened with these bills is really indicative of something bigger. It is where the people most impacted by this bill were written out of the conversation and became the collateral damage of good intentions.
This is On the Media.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.